The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You're listening to another episode of the Bastards of Boston, and the Red Sox just had another self-inflicted loss. Can't get out of their own way. I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Jeremy Schilling, Jim Delfino, and it was supposed to be a fun matchup. Chris Sale versus Garrett Crochet. How does that go in Men in Black? The new sexy versus the old and busted. And the old and busted was the ride tonight. So, Jim, we'll start off with you. What's your biggest takeaway?
The biggest takeaway is, again, the lovely bullpen. I think the round of gutless bums are back. You know, again, Bernardino walking just about every player he could find available in the lineup. Hendricks couldn't get out of the inning. I mean, there's so many different things in this game that really just ticked me off. Sogard not covering first, not even knowing where the bag was. The caught stealing issues, especially with Ref Snyder up. I mean, it just goes on and on. But, you know, how could I be surprised? I figured this game was going to be 3-1, 2-1. And I figured they were going to lose anyway. I thought Sale was going to jam the ball up their butts. So I was right again.
I think he struck out 2 last year. I think that's what Nesson was saying. And struck out 8 tonight, walked a couple. I think a few hits sprinkled in there. But he was, I would say this was a dominant start from Chris Sale. But Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
I thought both guys were really good. Crochet was done in by 2 pitches. Otherwise, he did everything you ask an ace to do, especially against another ace. You give your team a shot to win. Pitches 7 innings, throws 103, I think it was. I think it was 8 strikeouts, no walks. You know, I could add to the list that Jim identified the Sogard base hit off the wall where he just didn't read it right. And I don't mind the aggressiveness, and it's got to take a bang-bang play from the left fielder who made a great play. I'm not so upset about those things as I am with this team's continued lack of ability to hit situationally. First inning, they get the run on second after a walk and a stolen bag. We don't even advance him. This is why we keep losing one-run games. This is why we can't win a game in extra innings. We essentially put the ghost runner out there in first, and we can't pull a ball to the right side and hit a sac fly. Everything is we're just sitting around waiting for 2-run home runs. At some point, can we get to this lineup and say, it's okay to score 1 run at a time? And then it happens again in the, I believe it was the 8th. Same thing, man on second, no outs, Hamilton pinch running. And I'm, if I'm mistaken, forgive me. But I don't think they advanced him either. And we don't score a run. Good right, baseball teams find a way to tie. Guys, we're down 1. It's the 8th inning. You get the ghost runner on second, and he's got wheels. So you don't need to be necessarily clean with your ground ball. It can be up the middle to the shortstop. He's still going to advance. It can be a shorter fly ball. It's as if they're not even trying to play in the situation to create opportunities to score runs. We're still waiting for the 3-run home run. If they score in the first and they score in the 8th, that's 3. We're still talking about Jim's bullpen issues he's highlighted, but, you know, it's just you're putting more pressure on. You don't know what happens in those moments. Somebody boots a ball, and you, despite as good a night as Chris Sale had, you just never know where that goes. But we don't find out because they don't even find a way to advance the runner. I'm sick and tired of it. The word I would use is they're punchless.
Yeah, and you had some terrible base running. To me, that's the takeaway. That was the ultimate misfire of the evening. And I'm not sure what happened with Devers. I think it was a miscommunication with signs. It was kind of looked like a double steal, and I don't know what went wrong there. Devers was shown in the dugout, you know, constantly shaking his head, you know, so perhaps it was on him. I guess we won't know. Maybe we'll get some quotes from Alex Cora here.
But Terry, why is he even running in the first place? I mean, you got Ref Snyder up, who is your guy to bat against left-handed pitching. I mean, why would you even risk that at bat? And then again, it happens with Duran when he gets caught, and then Ref Snyder hits the home run. So it's just stupid things by Cora, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's perplexing. I mean, Devers would never straight up steal a bag on his own, I don't think. I just think someone had a dumb idea, and
dumb ideas every day.
Yeah. And then Sogard should have hit a double had he been hustling, but he had a slight hesitation after he rounded first. I put that somewhat on the first base coach, but as a baseball player, you just got to know, you got to be aware of, you know, everything. And he just kind of botched that. And then Duran got caught stealing as well. And I was kind of surprised he stole, because he had a stolen bag earlier. And if the throw was just a little bit better, it would have beat him. I don't think, perhaps he got a bad run, but as the ball was in the air, like, Duran wasn't even in the frame yet. And I'm like, ooh, but it wasn't a great throw. And he got in there, and I was kind of surprised he did it again. But that was, I mean, it's just a team that's just not, it's just not firing on all cylinders. They're not focused. It's just a giant malfunction right now. Oh, and the other thing too, Hamilton tried stealing second, and for some reason, Rafaela has a bunt on, you know, like, Hamilton's just trying to steal it straight up. And Alex Cora, like, motioned to Rafaela, what are you bunting for? You know, and Rafaela did take the bag on the next pitch or two during that at bat. And I think Rafaela tried getting him over to third on a bunt, but it's just another night where, you know, you're kind of hoping after an ugly sweep in Detroit, you had an off day yesterday, maybe a period to regroup. You debuted some new City Connect uniforms, and man, just what an ugly performance overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the only thing out of this is they didn't lose by one run, because Bernardino decides to walk the world, so they didn't have to worry about losing by one run. But you know, it's not even so much situational hitting. And you talk about firing on all cylinders. There's at least something every single game that will be the black hole for them. If it's not situational hitting in one game, it's not hitting at all in the next game, it's the bullpen in another game, it's the starting pitching in another. Nothing can, they just can't seem to get everything straight all at once. And, you know, today was a perfect example of it. You had great starting pitching. To Jeremy's point, Crochet did exactly what any ace could want. Seven innings, two earned runs. He made two mistakes. But the bottom line here is that he gave you the performance that you were hoping for. Unfortunately, they couldn't score. I mean, I know Sale is coming off a Cy Young season, but I mean, honestly, you know, Sogard's got five games under his belt at first base. He can't find the bag. That's just a lack of knowing the position properly and being able to, you know, have enough experience at first. So, you know, again, it's the Red Sox fault there. Devers caught stealing. Again, as I mentioned, you had Ref Snyder up in that instance. You know, he's there in that lineup purposely against left-handed pitching. Again, I think that's a stupid move. Again, the Red Sox being the Red Sox. Same thing with Duran, caught stealing with Ref Snyder up, and then he hits the home run in the next inning. It's the Red Sox being the Red Sox. You know, Sogard trying to stretch that single in the seventh. You know, the Rafaela bunting attempt with Hamilton. You know, it's just, it's constant Red Sox being Red Sox baseball.
Let's talk about first base. I mean, it's the topic that won't go away. To my surprise, the second baseman there, man, I'm having a bad night. Campbell, Christian Campbell, was taking ground balls at first before the game. And that wasn't really on my bingo card. And, you know, I'm starting to connect the dots more and more. And the more I connect them, the less I think Cora and Breslow, I don't think they're working it out. I think there's a bigger rift between them. You go back to the offseason again. Breslow didn't want him. Bregman. Cora did want Bregman. Breslow drew a hard line that Campbell was your second baseman. So when he finally relented and signed Bregman, Bregman went to third. Devers went to DH. Lots of feelings were hurt, but Breslow got his way. Campbell was your second baseman. All the drama last week, we don't have a first baseman. You've got middle infielders doing it. Romy Gonzalez, before he got hurt, he's a middle infielder and an outfielder, not a first baseman. Everything but a first baseman, and he was playing first base. Nick Sogard, Abraham Toro, none of them are first basemen, and they're all playing it. And then today, Campbell's taking grounders. So I see that as Breslow lost the meeting last week big time. He wasn't in there. He wasn't in the conversation. I see Christian Campbell going to first base as Alex Cora's getting his way. That's how I see it. And in a sort of a corresponding move tonight, Marcelo Meyer was playing second base in Worcester. So another sign that I think Cora's getting his way here by not having Devers go to first. Cora and Devers want him to stay at DH. Breslow wants him to go to first. And Breslow wants Campbell at second, but he's not getting his way.
So the way I view this is Devers does not want to play first base. He wants to prove his point from still being butthurt from the decision at third. And Cora is trying to balance the personalities in the locker room, so I don't think he has a choice. Cora can't possibly think moving Campbell to first is what's best for the big league club. He can't. I just don't believe that. I think this is that, you know, there's some rumor I saw, and I haven't really been online much today, but that they went to dinner and they tried to iron it out, and we don't know the results of it, obviously, because they're the only two at the dinner. But this is the corresponding thing the next day. I think Devers sat across his glass of wine and said, look, Alex, I ain't doing it. So then they meet this morning. They meet with Campbell. He does what young players that want to prove themselves do and says, hey, I'll do what's best for the club. The next thing you know, Mayer's moved over in the lineup on AAA, and Campbell's taken jugs machine balls on a makeshift first base, learning how to scoop baseballs. I haven't seen all the work that needs to go into this pitcher's fielding practice. Balls in the gap where you can get to them, but you leave it because so can the second baseman, so you can get to the bag. There's a lot that goes to play in that position, especially at this level, because what I don't want to be doing is talking about Christian Campbell not covering first because he hasn't played enough games over there. You know, it's to Jim's point in the microcosm of tonight's game, what was going on before the game is an extension of the bleep show that exists at Fenway Park. It is an unmitigated disaster from leadership down. The inmates are running the asylum, specifically Rafael Devers. And this is the result of the leadership from John Henry, who I hate and can't stand, Sam Kennedy, who's a proven liar, and the dichotomy between Craig Breslow and Alex Cora. It is a complete bleep show. And so when you have that culture, the result is tonight's product. And that's why anyone thinks that this thing's going to turn around in tomorrow's game and we're all on to an 8 out of 10 stretch is out of their mind. There is no reasonable basis to see the light at the end of the tunnel with this team as it's currently constituted.
Look, I want to see Mayer come up as much as the next person, and obviously Roman Anthony is next as much as the next person. I mean, we're all in agreement that there's really nothing else they need to prove down in AAA. The problem is that Campbell is also a rookie. And just like Rafaela last year, you know, I tweeted a lot that, you know, people would criticize his offensive production. And I said, listen, you know, this kid is trying on the fly to learn center field, you know, all the defensive metrics that go along with that, and shortstop, and all the defensive metrics that go along with that. Who's covering second? I am, you are. And so, you know, I gave him a pass. You're bringing this kid up, and to Terry's point, you know, there was the offseason talk about Bregman playing second. They signed him. You never saw a ground ball from him at second base. They wanted Campbell, I believe, as their second baseman to start the year. And now you've had him play center. You've had him play left. And now he's taking ground balls, as you guys mentioned, at first. I really have a concern about messing this kid up. They're going to Blake Swihart Christian Campbell, and I'm worried that that's going to happen. Hopefully he's athletic enough and a smart enough kid to be able to do that, but it's really unfortunate that this is where it's what it's come to. Granted, an injury happened to Casas. We get all that. But, you know, the easiest solution here would have said, look, you know, Campbell's our second baseman. He's had the most reps at second. We want him to get good at second base. We don't want to keep messing with this kid. Story could have been DFA'd. Story could have been moved to first. And you bring Mayer up at short, who's already been shortstop the entire season and raking in AAA. Outside of those was the Devers at first situation. If I was running the team, I would have said, listen, you know, you're making $300 million. You're going to play first base. If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. The second option I would have made is if I'm not going to DFA Story, I want to put him at first base. His shoulder, his defense is definitely not as good as it used to be. He's tall. I think he can do okay with scooping, you know, low balls that are coming to him from the infield. I think he could do it, but at least it leaves Mayer at his, you know, position at short, and it leaves Campbell at second. So we'll see, but that's my concern, is Campbell having to learn another position on the fly, and I hope it doesn't affect him both, you know, offensively or defensively.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
I don't worry about that. Jim, I get your point, and it's well-founded, but a great player that's destined to be great isn't going to have an issue. I can use some recent examples. Xander Bogaerts, early in his career, had to go play third for a year, and a year they made a run. He eventually got put back in his natural position, and he's obviously had a great career, made a lot of money. Bryce Harper, who happens to be one of my favorite athletes, was drafted as a catcher. His offense was valued so tremendously, they moved him to the outfield. He got hurt, and then he was moved to first base with no experience whatsoever, and he is a serviceable first baseman and still a great bat for the Philadelphia Phillies. And I could go on and on. I'm just trying to use names that the listeners are going to know. But this happens. Zidane Rafaela last year, he's our center fielder. He gets the contract. We buy out his arb years. Well, Story blows out his shoulder, so let's go have Rafael play short. And then we're doing the thing where we're going back and forth with it all year, largely unaffected. I think a lot of that falls on the specific athlete's mentality. And here's what I would hope, but based on my commentary about leadership on this team, I think this is wrong. The hope is they've evaluated Christian Campbell and they say that he's a mentally tough kid, and they pitch it to him in a way that makes it seem like he has an option, right? So that it's not a mental like, oh, I got to go do this even though I don't want to. Hey, Christian, this is where we're facing. Okay, these are the things that I think is going to make the team better in the near future. Mayer's coming up to play second. He should know that. Clue him in. Make him part of the process in the team. And then go put him over there. And if he's destined to be great, I don't think this is going to be a roadblock. Now, I could be wrong, Jim. I do think your point's well-founded. But there are so many examples we can use of really, truly good players, great players, that early in their career get shuffled in until they're established and then they get their spot. And to be honest with you, I don't think Christian Campbell's that smooth at second base. I think he's going to get better. He's a super athletic kid. He looks like he could play point guard on the Celtics, but that may not even be his position. If he's here 10 years, you know, there's arguments for him to be in the outfield. We'll see how he is at first base. I think that this happening today is a sign it's going to happen, you know, because otherwise it'd be Devers and we'd know by now. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there's a little bit to be concerned about, at least in the short term with Campbell, because in the past 2 weeks, he's hitting 177 with a 239 on base. It's gotten way worse in the last 7 days. He's hitting .065 with a .094 on base. If you move him to first, he's got to go somewhere and he's got to stay there. All right, we got to knock it off. If it's going to be first base, you have to commit to it, and that's where he's going to play. I don't think this is good for him, and I don't think the Blake Swihart comparisons are unfair. And you've got him for at least 8 years, hopefully 10, if he's the player we hope he is. But what's worse, what's worse than all of that is the culture on the team right now. What's going on this team is not good for Christian Campbell. This is not a good environment for a young player to come up. And maybe in a weird way, and a very unfortunate way, maybe it's a blessing that Meyer and Anthony aren't up here yet to witness this clown show. And so they have to clean it up. And I've defended Devers. I've been the most defensive host on this podcast for Rafi Devers, but he really needs to go to first. He really just needs to go to first base. And part of me hopes that this is just kind of a ploy to kind of guilt Devers into going to first. I don't think it is if Meyer's switching his position, unfortunately. You know, I guess this looks like the contingency plan. But it's a terrible environment. And it's getting to the point where I can't defend him. I was listening to Mike Lowell yesterday on the Tom Caron podcast. And he had some interesting analysis. They asked him, they said, well, how long would it take Devers to learn first base? And I was expecting Lowell to say, maybe a week, maybe two. Mike Lowell's answer, very respected baseball guy who's worked with Devers previously at third base, said it would take him 2 days. Two days to learn first. He goes, his footwork's been his weakness. That's not really a thing at first. He scoops the ball well. He'll learn it. Will he have some errors maybe in the next couple of weeks? Yes, but he'll be adequate at first with a ceiling, according to Mike Lowell, to be much higher. He even said, I'm not making this up, Devers could conceivably be a gold glove first baseman, he says, according to Mike Lowell. And then they asked about Bryce Harper, and he goes, well, how long would it take a Bryce Harper guy to learn second base? And Mike Lowell said, about 2 weeks, because he's an outfielder. It's totally different. And so, you know, I don't know how it's going to shake out. I don't want to ever see a scenario where we trade Devers, but the culture in Boston right now is bad, and it's partly on Devers, and Alex Cora is a big part of it. I think there is a failure of leadership here on the part of Alex Cora.
Here, Jim, I'm going to be very brief. And by the way, my commentary earlier was not what I want. Let's be very clear. I was very, very clear about what I want on last night's show. All right. I want Devers at first. You go bring up Roman Anthony. You put him at short. You go Tanner Houckim to the DL with the Trevor Story, meaning it's a made up excuse, whatever, tight hamstring. I don't care what it is. Make it up and go plug Mayer in and see if he's ready. And if he hits, then we have a Story problem. If he struggles, you still have options and you can bring Story back off the fake injury. And we don't have to have this tremendous shakeup. But we are already went through the process last year of Rafaela learning the game at the big league level. And I'm okay with doing that, especially with a guy that shows this much promise. But at the end of the day, you are essentially playing a game of chicken here. He's already learning second base at the big league level. He skyrocketed through the minors. He was in AAA, I think, for 2 months, a month. I think he got called up at the end of, middle of August. So if you're gonna force a guy to learn at the big league level, let him learn. And so I agree with you, Terry, on that point with Kristen Campbell.
I'm in the middle of the road with both of you. I know, Jeremy, to your point where you're saying that if he's a good enough athlete and a good enough ability to play baseball, he should be able to learn the position at first and excel at it. And I'm also on Terry's point, too, where he said, you know, enough is enough. Give him a position to be done with it. I lean a little bit more that way because here's the thing. I've always been a proponent of put a player in a position to excel. And when you continuously move players around, especially when they're young, it can have a reverse effect on them. I'm not saying it will. Not everybody's Rick Ankiel and not everybody is, you know, Blake Swihart and so forth, but these things can happen. The one thing that I will point out is that early on in spring training, there still was a lot of question as to where any of these guys were going to play. And I really speak of Devers, Bregman, and Campbell. Towards the end of spring training, and Campbell didn't have the greatest spring training, at least early on. But in the end, about the last week, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that he was going to be the second baseman. And out of nowhere, he was starting to rake. I don't know if you guys remember that. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, Cora or management said, look, you're the second baseman, go out and play. And to his ability, he was. And Terry brought up that he's been struggling of late. You know, there's been some outfield, you know, appearances for him and so forth. Look, he probably is a really gifted athlete and he probably can make the transition to first and he can probably be really, really good there. It's just a question to ponder as to whether it's going to, you know, mess him up a little bit, either mentally or with his offensive production. So it's just something to look out for is really what I'm saying.
All right. You know, we can beat this team to death all night, but let's just get into tomorrow real quick. Grant Holmes versus Lucas Giolito. Lucas Giolito's only had one bad start. It was at home. I think this Atlanta team can kind of tune him up either, you know, regardless of which stadium it's being played in. I'm just hoping for a good start. If he can get some swings and misses, get these Braves out, hold them to just two or three runs, regardless if the offense completely stiffs him of any support whatsoever, I think that'll be a successful thing. Where we've got Walker Buehler coming back. So, and then Houck's on the injured list. So perhaps that does take some pressure off of Giolito, but I'm hoping for a solid performance tomorrow night.
I mean, I'm certainly hoping for a solid performance because I don't want to be feeling like I am right now tomorrow night, but I feel like we're just in a rut. I'm going to take the Braves. I mean, I know Giolito's been pretty good except for the game where it was raining. And I said last week that I would stop picking against Giolito, but it's not so much picking against Giolito as it's putting value on what Jim was highlighting earlier. And we don't know. That's the part of the fun. What are we going to get picked off tomorrow? Are we going to get picked off on a back pick on a guy at third with less than two outs? Like, we don't know, but we know something's going to happen. And in my opinion, that's why we're going to lose tomorrow until there's something where somebody sticks their foot in the ground and wills them to victory, or they have a late comeback, or they get in a brawl. This team needs something that is a pivot point, and it hasn't happened. It obviously didn't happen tonight. And so I think they're in a rut, and I have concerns about how far this rut can go. And I think it continues tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm on that train too. I picked the Braves, probably going to be 6-3, 6-2. I'm not expecting a really good output from Giolito tomorrow. He's just too up and down for me. The consistency is what concerns me. I think the Braves are going to have a good offensive output against him tomorrow.
Well, Jim, keep in mind, Giolito can be fine. He can go through a quality start. We're still going to lose the game.
Yep. Well, that's what I was going to say. There's so many ways we can lose it. You know, we can
have this is a big league club, and that's how we're talking about them. This
we
is
could
ridiculous.
Have errors. We could have bad base running.
Catcher's interference. Let's get one of those, like in the ninth.
And you know? Alex Cora keeps pinch running Narvaez, which puts Wong in the game late, which is, I don't know why that's smart. I'd just rather have a slower base runner at that point. But anyway, and you know, the bullpen can blow it. I don't really put much on. I typically feel good about Bernardino. He didn't have it tonight, and you know, he wasn't put in the best situation anyway. But anyway, so Saturday night we're off, but we will be back on Sunday. That will be the Brian Bayo game. He's up against Spencer Schwellenbach, who's a rising ace, possibly a Cy Young winner multiple times over in the future. So Sunday's matchup looking a little dicey as well, but we'll be back Sunday night to cover what did happen the rest of the weekend. Take care, everyone.